الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. We continue with the tafsir of Sheikh عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي عليه رحمة الله, particularly ayah number 78, which we have not yet discussed, but we'll be doing so today inshallah ta'ala. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. أينما تكونوا يدرككم الموت ولو كنتم في بروج مشيدة وإن تصبهم حسنة يقولوا هذه من عند الله وإن تصبهم سيئة يقولوا هذه من عندك قل كل من عند الله فما لهؤلاء القوم لا يكادون يفقهون حديثا. Wheresoever you may be, death, وعليكم السلام, death will overtake you, even if you are in fortresses built up strong and high. And if some good reaches them, they say, this is from Allah. But if some evil befalls them, they say, this is from you. Who? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Say, all things are from Allah. So what is wrong with these people that they fail to understand any word? What is wrong with these people? They can't seem to understand basic information. The Shaykh rahimahullah says in commenting on this ayah, ثم أخبر أنه لا يغني حذر من قدر. And this is an expression which the Arabs use. And it is good to learn the proverbs and the idioms of people, because whenever you learn another people's language, this is actually something which they teach you. Saying it's raining cats and dogs. Like what? What does cats and dogs have to do with anything? Or it costs me an arm and a leg. So in Arabic, we have things that the people often say. And if you familiarize yourself with the meaning, that will save you a long discussion with the person about what they meant. لا يغني حذر من قدر. Huh? من or عن? عن. جزاك الله خير. These glasses, man. لا يغني حذر عن قدر. What does that mean? What does حذر mean?
Warning.
Mm-hmm. Cautious. Cautiousness. So cautiousness cannot prevent decree. Yani if Allah decreed something is going to befall you, no matter what precautionary means you try to utilize, what Allah decreed will inevitably befall you. وَمَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَكَ. The Prophet ﷺ said to Ibn Abbas, whatever befell you was never to miss you. It was never meant to miss you. It was supposed to befall you. And vice versa. So لَا يُغْنِي حَذَرٌ عَنْ قَدَرْ أحسنت. وأن القاعدة لا يدفع عنه قعوده شيئا. And that the one قاعد, what does it mean by قاعد here? The one sitting down, because this is قعود. What I'm doing right now, what you're doing right now is قعود. But when you hear in the context of the Islamic ayat, what does it refer to? Nope. قعود, what does it mean? Okay, in what regard? Because if you came in the ayah, the durus before, you shouldn't be, you know, thinking about it now.
The one that's not active in jihad.
Yes. قعود القاعدين, those who were too lazy, too scared, too much involved with the dunya, too much of a hypocrite, whatever their reasons may be, that prevented them from engaging in jihad with the Muslims. So they remain ma'al qa'ideen, with the women and the elderly and those who have excuses. So this is what is intended by qu'ud in this context. لَا يَدْفَ عَنْهُ قُعُودُهُ شَيْئًا. Meaning if you were to, the person is thinking, if I go to fight in the cause of Allah, then there's a very high probability that I will die. And so I don't want to die, so why don't I stay behind? And now they're being taught that even if you stay behind, if Allah had decreed that it's time for you to die, your remaining behind will not prevent that death from coming. You see the lesson. فَقَالْ أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا. Wheresoever you may be, يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Maut, and the word yudrik, idrak, is like when you're like chasing after something and then you catch it. It's the idea of someone trying to escape and then something chasing that something which is trying to escape, and then finally you get a hold of it. So yudrikum al-maut, it will catch you. If you're trying to hide under the bed, or try to hide under blankets under the bed, or you try to put some locks at the door, is that going to prevent malak al-maut from entering? No. That's why the ulama say, yani the presidents and the kings of countries and these people who are in charge, you know, they at the time of death, they have thousands of soldiers, bodyguards, doors closed, 5-6 doctors operating at the same time. But khalas, even if he's a president, he can pay everybody 10 million riyals to, you know, make him happy for the rest of his life. Still, when the angel of death comes in, he doesn't need a pass. He doesn't have any conversations with anyone. He doesn't say, excuse me, get out of my way. He just goes, does the job and leaves. And everybody's there just stunned. Stunned. They have no say in it whatsoever. أي في أي زمان وأي مكان. In any time, any place. ولو كنتم في بروج مشيدة. Even if you are in fortresses that are high. This is, you know, the most protection one can get. Behind a fortress. أي قصور منيعة ومنازل رفيعة. Meaning in very strong fortresses. And fancy homes. كل هذا حث على الجهاد في سبيل الله. All this is means of encouraging the Muslims to engage in jihad in the cause of Allah. تارة بالترغيب في فضله وثوابه. At some times, in some occasions, Allah will mention the good things, will excite and encourage the believers by speaking of the reward and the virtue of fighting in His cause. وتارة بالترهيب من عقوبة تركه. And at times, Allah will threaten with the punishment of abandonment of jihad. وَتَارَةً بِالْإِخْبَارِ أَنَّهُ لَا يَنْفَعُ الْقَاعِدِينَ قُعُدُهُمْ. And at times Allah mentions that those who remain behind, those who sit and don't get engaged, them remaining behind will not be of any benefit for them. وَتَارَةً بِتَسْهِيلِ الطَّرِيقِ فِي ذَلِكَ وَقَصْرِهَا. And sometimes Allah mentions how easy the path is and how short it is. The idea, all of these are means of encouragement for the Muslims not to be afraid of their enemies. And we, of course, missing classes has its tax. Because in a few classes, I've elaborated extensively on the issue of jihad. Because for now, I know for a fact, for the average Muslim or the new Muslim who has been told Islam is peace and everything is nice, as soon as he starts hearing these discussions, whoa, hold on a second, man. I think I made a wrong move. Or this is the religion. So it is what they're saying. Muslims are terrorists, and the shaitan will come in from all these entrances and play games with his mind. And so I had to explain the ruling of jihad and why it is there, and the guidelines and everything pertaining to it. Because we have been brainwashed by the Western media to believe that they have the right to own weaponry, even if they're nuclear weapons. They have the right to engage in war. They have the right to conquer other countries. They have the right to do anything in the name of protecting the world from so-called enemies. However, when the Muslims do this for the sake of the deen, not for power, not for money, not for whatever, they are called terrorists and this and that. And this is dumb. It's really dumb for us to really believe that. So the jihad is virtuous. It is part of Islam. But jihad and terrorism are not synonymous terms. Meaning when we speak of jihad, we speak about men fighting against men in the battlefield. We're not speaking about someone blowing up a supermarket. Or someone, doing something along these lines, whether it is suicide to himself or killing civilians who are not engaged in warfare. These are acts of terrorism which Muslims and non-Muslims do all the time. And you know that guy recently, what was he, Swedish? Yeah, that wild Christian fundamentalist. What was the country? Denmark. No, it wasn't Denmark. Norway. A crazy guy, man. Well, of course, that it doesn't suit them now. In the beginning, they thought it was a Muslim. So what I'm saying is people do this in the name of their religion. They do this in the name of their country. And it's fine. They say he just has a problem. Muslims, they want us to feel that this is some crime we're committing, and that we should be afraid of it, and we should be hide it. We should be hiding it. That's why they love it when, you know, some of these speakers and these, you know, lecturers or shuyukh, they come and they give them, you know, what is in agreement with them. That's why in the States, at least, the government supports particular masajid, and they allow them to have schools, and they facilitate for them all kinds of things, because they're teaching a modern version of Islam. One which is compatible with the American society. So music is halal. The Jews and the Christians are not kuffar. Okay, kuffar means zurra', means, you know, farmers. So every time Allah spoke about kufr in the Quran, for the Jews and the Christians, He was speaking, they are farmers. Because the kafir is also a farmer, linguistically. And I've read a pamphlet about this. A pamphlet that says that the Jews and the Christians are just farmers. That's what the ayah is speaking about. It is not speaking that they're disbelievers. They are our brothers. And so you say, wow. And this is what is being now pushed, the modern version of Islam. And so that one is jihad is not part of it. That one is just peace. Islam is peace. We love you. We love everyone. We love everything. No problem. You want to do whatever you want. Everything goes. But that's a lie. That's a lie against the deen of Allah. So we don't go to either extreme. Neither do we kill people neither do we engage in fight when we shouldn't, nor do we say that there's no such thing as fighting in Islam. We have to go by the Quran and the Sunnah, strictly, even if it goes against one's desires. That's the ultimate thing. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ وَهُوَ كُرْهٌ لَكُمْ. Why do you think the ayah came? وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Allah said, fighting has been prescribed for you. Why do you hate it? But then Allah said, perhaps you may hate something and it is good for you. So naturally, people don't want to fight. You want to relax, you know, and just enjoy life and drink some lemonade. You don't really want to go and risk your life. Now some people do it because they played too many video games when they were young, you know. All these fighting video games. So they can't wait to actually get a gun and go and shoot people in the street. But naturally, you shouldn't be this way. You know, you want to live life and take it easy. So there's an element of yani discomfort, but Allah said that is good for you, and perhaps you may love something which is to remain behind, to enjoy the dunya, and it is bad for you. Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. Allah knows and you know not. So, you know, when I speak of jihad, don't get traumatized, and don't think that this is some, you know, crazy secretive, you know, organization here. This is just the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we follow them strictly as we were commanded, inshallah ta'ala. Idhan, then Allah continues to say, وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ حَسَنَةٌ يَقُولُ هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ يُخْبِرْ تَعَالَى عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْمُعْرِضِينَ عَمَّا جَاءَتْ بِهِ الرُّسُلُ الْمُعَارِضِينَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذَا جَاءَتْهُمْ حَسَنَةٌ. Now Allah informs us about those who know not, those who oppose what the messengers have brought, those opposers who, whenever goodness comes to them, whenever something good happens to them, أي خصب وكثرة أموال وتوفر أولاد وصحة, like prosperity, abundance of wealth, or the availability of children and health. قالوا هذه من عند الله. They say this is from Allah. This is from Allah. وأنهم إن أصابتهم سيئة. However, if something evil touches them, جدب وفقر ومرض, like a drought, poverty ومرض, illnesses, وموت أولاد أو أحباب, or the death of beloved, of children, or those who are related to you, or those who are beloved to you. قالوا هذه من عندك. They say to the Messenger of Allah, no, this is from you now. Okay? So if something good happens, it's from Allah. If something bad happens, they blame the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What do we call this in Islam? What do we call this idea in Arabic of believing in bad omens or believing in superstitious beliefs and what have you? It's in Surah Yasin. Tatayyur. Tatayyur. You know tatayyur? Tatayyur is this idea. Well, it came from tayyur, bird. Because back in Jahiliyyah, if they wanted to do something, they would have a bird. If the bird flew in a particular direction, they would go on with the trip, and if it flew in another direction, they wouldn't. Something along, it had to do with a bird, tayr. From there, they had the tayra, tiyara, and tatayyur, mutatayyir. In Surah Yasin, inna tatayyarna bikum. Sahih? They said to their messengers, inna tatayyarna bikum. قالوا طائركم عند الله. This nonsense, superstitious beliefs don't exist in Islam. Don't. I don't know about your country, But in my country, when we were young kids, of course we had nothing to do with Islam. If you were lying down on the floor and someone walked over you, okay, someone stepped over you, it was necessary that they walk back, otherwise you will never grow tall again. No, and we were serious, man. You're talking about the whole family. Go back over there. They said, go back over your brother. I don't want to go back over my brother. Go back over your brother now. I was like, what happened, man? And I'm sitting there scared. I'm not going to grow tall. I'm short already. I had all these, you know, mental problems because of my height. I'm like, now you're making matters worse. You better walk back over me before I get up and kill you or something. That's nonsense. If you drop the salt, you know, shaker, I don't know what. If you open the umbrella in the house, someone's going to die. Yeah, any stupid stuff. The word we can call it is really stupid. That's what it is. But we don't have this in Islam. This has no place in Islam. And from this mentality came the amulets, where people hang on their children, you know, some Quran, a tiny little Quran that no one can ever read, or some writings of some hadith or something, and they put it with a safety pin and they hang it on the child's, you know, undershirt. And then they say, this will protect him by the will of Allah. And while they're looking at him, he runs outside, a car runs him over. And I wonder whether they ever wondered, why didn't it protect him from the car running him over? Are you going to tell me every single child who wore one of these amulets was never harmed? Absolutely he was harmed. When he was harmed, where was the brain of their parents? Did they realize that this amulet, what, maybe it wasn't clean enough? So they go and clean it and put it again? I mean, come on, it's common sense. What Allah decreed is going to happen to this child cannot be stopped by something which you hang on their clothes. So these are all foreign ideas to Islam, but they're very prevalent in the Muslim countries. إلا من رحم الله. إذن أي بسبب ما جئت نبيه محمد. So they say, because of what you have brought, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. تطيروا برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كما تطير أمثالهم برسول الله. So they had this pessimistic. They were pessimistic against the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like those who came before them were pessimistic concerning their messengers. And then he quoted عن قوم فرعون كما أخبر الله عن قوم فرعون أنهم قالوا لموسى فإذا جاءتهم الحسنة قالوا هذه قالت قالوا لنا هذه وأن تصيبهم سيئة يتطيروا بموسى ومن معه. Allah told us about the people of Fir'aun before, that whenever good will come to them, they will say, this is ours. And if evil befalls them, they will be tatayyur. They will do tatayyur with Musa and whoever was with him. Alayhim salatu salam, Harun and the rest. وَقَالَ قَوْمُ صَالِحٍ قَالُوا طَيَّرْنَا بِكَ وَبِمَنْ مَعَكَ. The people of Salih said to him, طَيَّرْنَا بِكَ and with those who are with you. I told you what tatayyur means already. I'm not going to give you the English equivalent because it's a whole sentence. Yeah, because pessimism is not really enough to explain it. وقال قوم ياسين لرسولهم إنا تطيرنا بكم لأن لم تنتهوا لنرجمنكم. The people of Yasin, the قوم Yasin, they said the same thing. We have done تطير with you, and if you don't stop, we will stone you. I mean, this is what the messengers had to do. Now imagine you go give a lecture, and someone tells you, look, if you don't stop talking, I'm gonna pull out a gun and shoot you. That's what actually the messengers had to go through. Just to give you the modern equivalent of modern day, someone is basically telling the messenger, either you stop giving us da'wah or we're going to kill you. And some of them were threatened to be exiled from the land. Some of them actually were killed. You know, they were killed. And, you know, they had to go through all things fi sabilillah. And nowadays, you know, some du'at, if the car doesn't have an air condition, he says, no, I'm sorry, I can't give the lecture anymore. Yaqi, but this is the only car available. And you know, we need to give that. No, I'm sorry. Either you bring an air-conditioned car, or I'm not going to give da'wah anymore. Others, they say, they ask for money. Okay, you can invite me to your country, but I need a 5-star hotel and 20,000 riyals. And you know, I want to bring my family. You know, Ishab, this is what it is. Business? Trying to take advantage of the people or what? If they give you something for the sake of Allah, which you don't ask for, alhamdulillah. If you don't have money and they want to provide you with your right transportation, accommodation, alhamdulillah. But to take money for a lecture, as in one lecture for 10,000 riyals or 5,000, this is crazy. This is pretty crazy. And according to many of the ulama, it's haram. It's haram to ask for money per lecture, as in you're selling a product. Because this is the deen of Allah which you convey to the people. It is not some product or merchandise which you are selling. If they give you a gift, Allah musta'an, you may accept, you may reject, that's up to you, depending on your financial situation. Or you may get a mukafa. Mukafa, I mean, they give you a reward. They understand that you're someone who's dedicated his life for Islam, and that you don't have a job. So they realize that you're traveling around, you know, you have no means to make money. They will give you something. But you don't ask for a price for a talk or a khutbah or something along these lines. And I heard, Allah musta'an, that many are doing just that. And you won't believe it, but it is the truth. Allah musta'an. So you know, if you ever become a da'i, you know, you have to struggle for the sake of Allah. The car doesn't have air condition, alhamdulillah. You had to take a taxi, alhamdulillah. You had to sleep in someone's house because there's no hotel, they cannot afford the hotel, alhamdulillah. What is important is that you give da'wah. You're not there to have a vacation. على كل حال نعم الآن فلما تشابهت قلوبهم بالكفر تشابهت أقوالهم وأفعالهم. Amazing. When their hearts resembled each other in kufr, their statements and their actions resembled each other as well, because their hearts were corrupt. All of those who denied the messengers from the time of Nuh until now, the common feature between them is the corruption of the heart, the rejection of the truth. Because they had that common factor between them, the statements which they wind up making were actually also the same, because of the corruption of the heart, which was the same. وهكذا كل من نسب حصول الشر أو زوال الخير لما جاءت به الرسل أو لبعضه. Similarly, anyone who attributes the existence of evil or the absence of good, he attributes that to the messengers or what they brought. Meaning he claims that because of what the messengers brought, we lost on this kind of goodness and this kind of evil happened to us. He is in the same condition. فَهُوَ دَاخِلٌ فِي هَذَا الذَّمِّ الْوَخِيمِ. He's included in this reprimand, in this belittlement. Anyone who claims that, you know, the Sunnah made life difficult, or the Quran and the Sunnah are too much and they go against our, you know, this and that. قال الله في جوابهم قل كل أي من الحسنة والسيئة والخير والشر. Say all of it. الحسنة والسيئة, the good and the bad. والخير والشر, and the good and the evil. But we said evil is not attributed to Allah, meaning evil comes because of what Allah decreed, because of the people, not because of Allah. مِن شَرِّ مَا خَلَقْ. From the evil of that which Allah created. Allah created things which actually have good and bad. Like Iblis. Iblis. Some will say Iblis is pure evil. Say no, he's not. The creation of Iblis is not pure evil. Because through disobedience to Iblis, you will enter Jannah. Through the existence of Iblis, we are being tested. And people will be rewarded with paradise for that. And through Iblis, those who don't deserve paradise will enter hell. So even though he is evil, in his creation there is good. And in anything which you say, we'll be able to prove to you that in everything there's a side of goodness to it. There's a side of goodness to it. That's why we don't attribute the evil to Allah. Everything which comes from Allah is good. However, if the people don't abide by the divine rules, it becomes evil for them. Meaning Iblis is evil. But if everybody obeyed Allah and disobeyed Iblis, would there be any evil in that? Not really, it'll be good for everyone. When does it become evil? When people actually choose him and disobey Allah. So now the byproduct became evil. Not that what Allah himself is the source of evil, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, وَالْخَيْرُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْكَ وَالشَّرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Goodness is in your hands and evil is not attributed to you. We don't attribute evil to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. نعم. أين أنا؟ أنا هنا. من عند الله. It's from Allah. أي بقضائه وقدره وخلقه. Meaning it's all from Allah, as in it's the decree, the ordainment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his creation. فما لهؤلاء القوم الصادر, أي الصادر منهم تلك المقالة الباطلة. So what is the matter with these people? Meaning the people who have made this expression. If goodness comes to them, it's from Allah. If something evil comes to them, they say this is from the Messenger of Allah. لا يكادون يفقهون حديثا. أي لا يفهمون حديثا بالكلية ولا يقربون من فهمه أو لا يفهمون منه إلا فهما ضعيفا. يعني it's an amazing ayah by the way. يعني Allah سبحانه وتعالى is making fun of them. That's you know, the bottom line is they're being made fun of. They're being made fun of. What are you, like okay, for example, someone said, "What's up with this guy? Doesn't understand anything, man." When you say that, you don't have to say you're this word and that word, and you may give him. You don't have to curse him. You don't have to use foul language. Just say this guy doesn't understand anything. That is enough insult. Say that he's all of the things which you could have said but you didn't say. You understand what I'm saying? It's a form of belittlement. So what is the matter with them? Either they don't understand a complete expression, or they don't even come close to understanding it, or they understand but just small, you know, tiny understanding, very insignificant understanding of the subject matter. وعلى كل فهو ذم لهم وتوبيخ على عدم فهمهم وفقههم عن الله ورسوله وعن رسوله. At any rate, it is degrading for them. It is belittlement for them. And Allah Azza wa Jal is scolding them for their lack of understanding and their lack of comprehension from Allah and His Messenger. They don't understand what is being conveyed to them from Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَذَلِكَ بِسَبَبِ كُفْرِهِمْ وَعْرَضِهِمْ. All of this is because of their disbelief and their rejection. This is why sometimes if you're giving da'wah, you'll be giving da'wah and you realize that some non-Muslim will tell you, well, you know, I don't understand the wisdom behind, you know, a man having four wives. Or I don't understand the wisdom behind a Muslim male being able or being allowed to have sex with his female slave. Or I don't understand, you know, why this and that. And these are some really, you know, hard questions to answer unless you're well-versed. Unless you're experienced in this field, then it's a piece of cake. If not, you'll be in trouble. But in case you ever get in trouble, you must have an outlet, must have a way out. And that thing, after explaining to them, if you have the ability to explain, you take them back to the basics. Say, listen, I understand that some of these things may not make sense to you. But we also believe that the intellect which we humans have and possess is given by God. Our minds are given by God, and the ability to comprehend is also given by God. Forget about these minor issues. Let us deal with the major issue. If you don't believe in your Creator, if you don't believe in His oneness, uniqueness, His right to be worshipped, and He's the one who grants you everything, do you really expect Him to grant you understanding of the minor aspects of His religion while you don't understand the most basic and fundamental? Truthfully speaking, I wouldn't be shocked if you didn't understand. Because it's from God. Submit to Him and He will give you the understanding. Submit to Him and when you have faith in Him, then these things will make sense to you. At this point, while you are in a state of war with Him, if I may say, how do you expect Him to guide you to understand something while you don't even believe in Him and you reject Him? So this is the kind of, you know, along these lines. You may use different words or you may have a different approach. That's your business. But that's one thing they need to understand. You're not a genius to figure everything out on your own, alaykum salam, while you don't even believe in the one who gave you your brain. And so that's why, the more you realize that before you were a Muslim, you weren't that intelligent. And after you became a Muslim, you got pretty smart. Not only in the matters of the deen, but you got smart on all fronts. In business, in the way you deal with people, in your communication skills. Being a Muslim gives you some sort of intelligence, because it's from Allah. يؤتي الحكمة من يشاء ومن يؤتى الحكمة فقد أوتي خيرا كثيرا. He gives the wisdom to whomever He wills, and whoever has been given wisdom has been given abundance of good. Allah is the one who gives you that wisdom. He gives you that understanding when you are, you know, when you submit to Him. If you want to reject Him, then I wouldn't be shocked that you wouldn't understand. That's why this what is this British scientist? Yeah, Hawking, Richard.
Stephen.
Yeah, Stephen Hawking. I mean, this guy, they say he's this and he's that and he's the, and then he makes some statements. They say, what? Does this guy even have a brain? He makes some remarks about his disbelief in atheism and what have you. You think this is the most feeble-minded person in the world. And to the people, he thinks he's intelligent, the people think he's intelligent, and wallahi, he is not intelligent. If he were intelligent, he would have believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he thinks he knows science, he doesn't know anything. Because the brain which he's using to understand science is from Allah. And he doesn't want to believe in Allah. It's ajeeb. أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِن نُطْفَةٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ Does the son of Adam not see that we created him from a sperm drop? All of a sudden, هُوَ خَصِيمٌ He wants to argue مُبِينٌ He wants to argue and he wants to get eloquent in his argument. Nah, this and I don't believe in God. All this nonsense. How could you not believe in God? Where did you come from? Alhamdulillah ala ni'mat al-Islam. إذن وفي ضمن ذلك مدح من يفهم عن الله ورسوله. In the context, Allah is praising those who understand the information conveyed from Allah and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. والحث على ذلك وعلى الأسباب المعينة على ذلك. And Allah is encouraging to acquire that understanding and to utilize the means through which you're able to understand. من الإقبال على كلامهما, like being attentive when you hear the Quran and the Sunnah, وتدبره, and then reflecting and pondering upon them, وسلوك الطرق الموصلة إليه, and treading the path which leads you to that. فَلَوْ فَقِهُوا عَنِ اللَّهِ Because if you were to understand what Allah intends, meaning you understand the objective behind this revelation, لَعَلِمُوا أَنَّ الْخَيْرَ وَالشَّرَّ وَالْحَسَنَاتِ وَالسَّيَّاتِ كُلُّهَا بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ وَقَدَرِهِ They would have understood then that the good and the evil, and the good and the bad, all of it is by Allah's decree and His preordainment. It is not from fulan, not from this guy, not from that guy, not from, you know, by any luck. It's all from Allah's qadr. Because qadr, we say khayrihi wa sharrihi, the good and the evil in qadr, not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La yakhruj minha shay an dhalik. Nothing is excluded from that. Nothing is excluded from that. Wa anna ar-rusul alayhim as-salatu was-salam la yakununa sababan li sharrin yahduth. And you would have understood also that the messengers are never the reason behind the existence of any evil. Not the messengers. Hum wala ma ja'u bih. Neither themselves nor that which they have brought. Nothing of these two will be a source of evil. لأنهم بعثوا بمصالح الدنيا والآخرة والدين. Because they have been sent forth with the goodness or the benefits of the dunya, the life to come, and the religion. Beautiful. Ayah 79. ما أصابك من حسنة فمن الله وما أصابك من سيئة فمن نفسك وأرسلناك للناس رسولا وكفى بالله شهيدا Whatever of good reaches you is from Allah, but whatever of evil befalls you is from yourself. Not from this and that, meaning it's from Allah, meaning Allah decreed that because of your actions you will get that in return. And we have sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a messenger to mankind, and Allah is sufficient as a witness. قالت ثم قال تعالى ما أصابك من حسنة أي في الدين والدنيا whatever goodness happens to you in the deen and the dunya, in the religion, in your religious affair, that is, and in your worldly affair. فمن الله it is then from Allah. هو الذي من بها ويسرها بتيسير أسبابها. It is Allah who bestowed that blessing upon you, and He facilitated the means through which it is facilitated. وما أصابك من سيئة and whatever evil befalls you في الدين والدنيا in your religious commitment or affair and your worldly affair فمن نفسك it's because of yourself أي بذنوبك وكسبك وما يعفو الله عنه أكثر meaning because of your sins and your earnings and whatever Allah pardons is even greater ما أصابك من سيئة there's another ayah وما أصابكم من سفه من نفسك ويعفو عن كثير يا سبحان الله يلا الحمد لله طيب I can't bring it to mind now على كل حال فالله تعالى قد فتح لعباده أبواب إحسانه وأمرهم بالدخول لبره وفضله Allah عز وجل has opened the gates of His goodness and He commanded His slaves to enter To enter through these gates, to acquire, meaning Allah's goodness and mercy, because of Allah's blessings and bounties. وأخبرهم أن المعاصي مانعة من فضله. And he informed them that sins will prevent the bounties of Allah. Sins will prevent the bounties of Allah. فإذا فعلها العبد, if the slave then commits them, فلا يلومن إلا نفسه, then he shouldn't blame anyone but himself. فإنه المانع لنفسه عن وصول فضل الله وبره. He is the one who has prevented himself from attaining Allah's goodness and Allah's bounties. He himself by committing the sin. ثم أخبر عن عموم رسالة رسوله محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then Allah spoke about the generality or the encompassment of the message of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, his messenger. He said, وأرسلناك للناس رسولا وكفى بالله شهيدا على أنك رسول الله حقا بما أيدك بنصره والمعجزات الباهرة والبراهين الساطعة والبراهين الساطعة. Meaning, you are the messenger of Allah, and Allah said we have sent you to the people as a messenger, and sufficient Allah is as a witness, meaning a witness that you are his messenger in truth, because of having supported you with victory, with miracles and signs, immaculate signs, and glowing evidences, or the illuminating evidences. This is, you know, too strong for you to be able to avoid them. فهي أكبر شهادة على الإطلاق. This is the greatest witness of all. كما قال تعالى قل أي شيء أكبر شهادة قل الله شهيد بيني وبينكم. Say what شهادة is the greatest? Is the شهادة of Allah. He's the witness between you and us. Meaning the greatest witness over the validity of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Allah himself, and sufficient is Allah as a witness. Who cares about anyone else who denies afterwards, if they were to deny? فإذا علم أن الله تعالى كامل العلم تام القدرة عظيم الحكمة وقد أيد الله رسوله بما أيده ونصره نصرا عظيما تيقن بذلك أنه رسول الله. If it is known then that Allah, the one who's perfect in knowledge, perfect in ability, omnipotence, the great in wisdom, has aided his messenger. Allah has aided his messenger with what he aided him with of victory, this great victory, it becomes certain for you that it's the messenger of Allah. And the ulama say, yani, this is, look, in that there's the biggest evidence. One of the proofs which we use about the truthfulness of the risala of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say, look, can you imagine someone who comes and says to the people, I am the messenger of Allah, and you claim that he's lying? The kuffar claim that he was lying. He told them, I'm the messenger of Allah, Allah will support me, Allah will aid me. And if he were lying against Allah, how is it then that he fought with them all these fights, and who turned out to be victorious? The Prophet, who is being mentioned until today all over the world. How can someone lie against Allah and then Allah give him this kind of establishment on earth? We know from Allah that when the people lied against them, Allah demolished them. When the people lie against Allah, they're done. Musaylim al-Kadhab, when he came and claimed to be the messenger, where is him now? What is his name? His name is Musaylim al-Kadhab. Musaylim the liar. That's what Allah did to him. Abu Lahab, what happened to him? Only time we mention him is when he says, Tabbat yada Abi Lahab wa tab. Again, it's all in the context of belittlement and degradement. Subhanallah. So this is a lesson for the people. Look, this man you claiming, he claimed to be the messenger of Allah. Then Allah gave him victory over all these people, and his religion spread all over the world, and it remains until today, all while he's lying against Allah. Don't you think Allah could have taken revenge? He could have exposed him? That's an evidence that Allah supported him, and all the mu'jizat which happened at his hand sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the preservation of the Quran. Come on, it's undeniable. That's why if someone tells you in da'wah, prove to me that the Quran is from Allah, say no, you prove to me that it is not. I don't have to prove to you that it's from Allah. Everything in it proves it's from Allah. If you have an issue, now you prove to me that it is not. And Turn the tables around. Give me the Bible, and I will prove to you it's not from Allah. I'm not going to tell you, prove to me the Bible is from Allah, because you claim it is from Allah, now I have to believe you. I can prove to you that it is not, and I will bring you the contradiction and the lies and the different versions. And say, if you were to give me the Bible, I wouldn't tell you to prove to me, because I know you have firm belief, but I will be able to prove to you it is not. Let's do the same thing with the Quran. Don't tell me to prove to you. I'm telling you, every single thing is from Allah. You prove to me that it is not. They will never be able to do it. They will never be able to do it. If they make the research and there's goodness in them, Allah will guide them to Islam. If they make the research and they don't want any goodness, then you have established the evidence against them. Your da'wah is done. Your da'wah is done. You've done your job. Because it's irrefutable. They can't. So you don't have to prove to anyone. No, they have to prove that you're lying. Because there's something that cannot be denied. The Quran is something. These are all the miracles of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. Ala kulli hal. نعم وإلا فلو تقول عليه بعض الأقاويل لأخذ منه باليمين ثم لقطع منه الوتين. Because if he had lied, if he had fabricated some statements against Allah, then Allah Azza wa Jal showed us the severe retaliation in the surah. He will be taken by the right and he will be cut off. I mean, Allah would have destroyed anyone who lied against him, as the previous nations and previous prophet, false prophets were destroyed. No one managed to remain except that Allah humiliated them, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khalas. Because the next ayah, frankly, requires much elaboration. It's a very important ayah about the concept of obeying the Messenger of Allah in Islam. And is it equivalent to obeying Allah, or is it of lesser degree, or is it not important? Is it voluntary? Is it obligatory? What is the idea or the concept of obeying the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The ayah explains that explicitly, and that we will discuss inshaAllah ta'ala next week if we all remain alive and healthy. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.